Good morning. We'll go ahead and call the Woodland Municipal Utility Commission meeting to order. Today is Monday, October 12th, 11:45 a.m. Does anybody have any changes to the agenda? If not, we'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of minutes from the September 28th meeting, as well as bill payments in the amount of $400,000+. General Manager Herring, is there anything in bill payments to point out?
Thank you, Commissioner Mara. I do not have anything further to add to the bill payments. Highlighted ones are capital projects again, as a reminder.
Thank you. I would look for approval on the consent agenda. Hope for a resolution for approval.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second for the consent agenda. Any discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll.
Sir, Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBlee?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
Vaughn?
Aye.
Thank you.
The resolution passes. Thank you. Next, we'll move into the monthly financial reports, and we have our Finance and Office Services Supervisor, Ms. Precker.
Thank you. When we look at August with the electric division, we had operating revenues year to date. We're at $22,154,000. Expenses, $17,313,000, leaving retained earnings of $3,798,000, which is down about $449,000 from prior year. In the water division, operating revenues, $2,334,000. This is about $24,000 from what we anticipated with that 20% rate increase over last year. Expenses at $1,058,000, leaving retained earnings at $1,313,000, which is up about $484,000 from prior year. In the heating division, there's minimal activity in there, as expected, and nothing significant to point out. And when we look at all divisions overall, year-to-date operating revenues at $24,625,000, which is down about $384,000 from prior year. Operating expenses, $18,663,000, down $58,000 from prior year. Leaving retained earnings, $4,982,000, down about $295,000 from prior year. And of course, we have the graphs to show all of that information.
Thank you for the update there. Commissioners, any questions on that report? Henry, any changes under the investment portfolio?
Nothing significant there. Just shows the month-end value for August at $32,405,667.
Okay. Thank you. Not seeing any questions on that, so I'll let you continue on with the cost of power report.
Okay, for August here, right about where we would expect to be with the cost of power. We're slightly lower than last year at this time. We are 1 cent higher than our 12-month rolling average, but that's to be expected with the summer months.
Looks pretty straightforward. Commissioners, any questions? All right, moving along, agenda. Thank you, Andrea. Appreciate the updates there. Agenda item number five, the September 2020 Wind Turbine Report, Facilities and Maintenance Supervisor, Mr. Marty.
Thank you. I better get loaded so I can talk about it. As you can see, both turbines, 3 and 4, had decent availability for the month, 95.2 and 96.1. Total kilowatt hours of 531,071. No major outages in September. Brings us year to date to $4,916,511. So we got a few months to go to make some hay. Also have on the next tab, is there any questions on that report? Or?
Does not appear so.
Okay, the next tab, we talked about this last month, about the blade stud issue that we had, so we put together some photos to kind of walk you through that. That first photo is what we found on the ground outside of the turbine. And then we took it back to the shop and cleaned it up, and you can see that that nut is actually cracked. The next page, that slotted hole on top, that basically is the mounting position of where they have to work on that broken stud at. You can vaguely see the other, the arrow is pointing to the missing one. You can see the other two adjacent to it. The bottom photo shows you in relation to the turbine where these studs are. The gentleman on the right with his is actually touching one of those studs. There's 48 of them total that mount into the blade. If you look at the gentleman on the left, those holes that are next to his head there, that's basically where those 48 studs slide into, and the nut tightens down on there. Next page is just another photo of the install of those blades to the hub. And then once we completed the repair, the bottom photo, we found after we cleaned that up, the arrow is pointing to a crack in that mounting ring that's part of the actual hub of the turbine itself. So we redid the repair and cleaned everything up, and then once the guys got it tightened down, they put those paint lines on there, what we call witness marks. So each time they go up to the turbines, they can visually see if that, if there's been any movement of that stud and nut assembly. I really don't have an opinion on, I guess, what happened. It could have been something that was fatigued from the start, or improperly torqued. It's hard to say. Turbines are 10 years old, so it's, I really can't say how long that stud was loose or how, you know, worked its way out of there. But we'll continue to monitor that.
Kevin, the crack in the mounting plate itself, does it provide any ongoing concerns?
Yeah, I mean, it is cracked on basically the outside ring of the mounting plate. If you go back to the second slide and kind of expand that, right next to the gentleman with the American flag hard hat, it's basically cracked from the hole out. So they didn't see any cracking from the hole in towards the center of the hub. So we're hoping that it just remains what we have, basically, and because there isn't a whole lot of repair up there to repair options, let's say, for interfeeding the air.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any additional questions on that report?
Is that like the blade that's sticking out that's on?
Correct. Yep. The studs come mounted inside the blade, and then it slides into the hub.
You begin to see the perspective of size when you have a person standing right next to them.
Yep.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Quickly, how often do you have that needed to be maintenance-wise, you know, since this is really getting old?
Typically, you can do what's called a retorque on the turbine. Yeah. And that would have we would have to hire that out. That torquing equipment is 2,000 to 3,000 foot-pounds on a stud of that size, where to put that in perspective, a wheel stud on your car is maybe 120 foot-pounds and can be, they take specialized equipment to get that kind of torque on a nut. So some of the wind turbine companies actually do a retorquing procedure where they'll come out and check all of the bolts in the entire turbine from the ground up, and they retorque them to 110%, I think, of their original spec. I believe that we've had that done once and found no issues. So the thing with this particular, it just happened to be in one of those little sight windows. It's kind of a freak thing, so to retorque these would be a challenge, I guess. I would assume you may almost have to take the entire hub and blade assembly down.
Does it offset, though, the cost of the maintenance and then the benefit, you know, cost-wise, or are we just going deep into negative in terms of future maintenance?
I wish I had that answer. I know that it's expensive to do a retorque on the entire turbine, and without finding issues, it's hard to say.
But now we kind of stay off balance, though. It's just still more beneficial now as we go forward.
Yep. Okay. Almost all the mounting bolts and throughout the turbine, when they do those retorque, they put witness marks on them that you can visually see them, that they have been gone through a retorque procedure. So our guys do look at those, and if they would happen to see something moving, that'd be an indicator that we'd have to address it. This is a first of this type of repair.
Thanks. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
So are all the 48 bolts and studs visible for inspection?
No.
So we just got lucky that this one fell through the site?
Pretty much. I shouldn't say that they're not. You can manually, the hub stays in place. Like on the very last page, if you expand that top photo, you can see that slotted hole. So as the blade turns, it turns within that hub, basically. So you could visually inspect each one of these. You would just have to rotate the blade, 5 or 10 degrees, and go out on the hub and then visually check each one. So it is possible to do that, but it would be, I would assume, quite time-consuming. You'd have to, turn the blade 5 or 10 degrees to move the next 3 or 4 nuts and studs into the view, and then go out and recheck them.
I understand it'd be time-consuming, but considering what just happened.
Yep. You can see them from inside the hub as well. You can get a pretty good visual on all of them from inside there. I know the guys, after they found this one, they were doing some other repairs on the nose cone of the other turbine. And as they did that repair, they checked all 3 hub mountings on 3. This one, I believe, was on 4. So then they went back to that one when they put this one in. And basically, that's the sad thing with them being torqued at 2,000 or 3,000 foot-pounds. I mean, you can put a wrench on it, and you and me and 6 guys with a 20-foot pipe aren't going to move it. So we can only check them what we're physically able to. We can throw a wrench on them or a breaker bar and make sure that they're tight for our purposes, but
right.
But the questioning more than if there's additional cracks in there that we can see.
Right.
The bolt came out of the female cracked spot, not the cracked nut, is what it looks like.
Correct.
So
and the stud itself looked fine.
How do we check the threaded female ends of the hub?
Of the hub or the blade?
Of the mount where this bolt threads into.
That would be right directly into the blade itself. The studs.
It's not the picture that I understand. Because on the picture on slide number 2, you have
the bottom photo.
Studs coming out of the blade.
Correct. Those studs are pre-set into that blade.
So they came out.
Correct. It backed out of that. So
it backed out of the blade.
Correct.
So the only way to check that would be to take that whole hub assembly down, take it down, and take it apart, and pull those studs out of the blade.
Right. I'm assuming that they either have a special tool or they double nut them when they install them and torque them into the blade at a certain spec. So
I know the crack in that ring, in that mounting ring, is definitely of concern, because if that crack is there for whatever reason, fatigue, metal, could be many reasons, there's probably more there, or more coming.
Which is the point I'm getting to, and how do we verify that?
I would imagine we have to take that hub down and pull it apart.
There's no options to insert some sort of a scope camera throughout and try and get a visual that way?
Like I say, they can see, I would say, a good majority of them from inside that hub. It's just that you can't put a wrench on each one and test them that way.
So Kevin, would it be beneficial to reach out to Olympia and ask those questions?
I sure could.
You know, what will it take? Is the only way to verify that those suds are sound and solid is to take it down, or is there some way they can be checked and tested out there in place?
Okay.
And we could bring that answer back to the commission. Our only option is to take it down, we'd get a quote for that, and then we'd have to determine if it's worth the money.
I think there's,
we do that.
Yeah, I think there's equipment that they can check on metal fatigue that can really test it. You know, this is like a laser wise that you can find whether there's a cracks or all that sort of thing. Easily could be determined.
I agree with Commissioner Weber and Mabobite. I don't think at this point we can just walk away and say we're good to go. I think we need to do some further exploration here. And
yeah, I agree. We certainly didn't like what we found, and especially that we saw that plate was cracked.
Mm-hmm. In another place, rather than going to Olympia, another place that may be able to determine metal fatigue would be somebody like Brian or Kevin. They get into those, that type of work as well. So that might not even be our company work. That could be somebody like Braun Intertech.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's no bolt in there now. We're operating on 47.
No, we're operating on 48.
Okay.
We were able to buy a replacement stud. Olympia still had a handful of these, so we got a new stud and basically thread locked it in there as much as we're physically able to, and a new nut, and tighten it down. So that very last photo is, those are new parts in there.
Okay, gotcha. So,
thank you. With the crack in the outer ring, a bony plate like that, is that a problem that they've seen on other turbines, or is this unique to our situation, do you know?
What we found out, we talked to Olympia, and they had not seen any on DeWin turbines in their history. It's only 8-10 years old. And we also spoke with Renew Energy out of Sioux Falls, who did our blade repairs this past summer, and they had not either. So it was his opinion at Renew that this stud could have been over-torqued from day one and fatigued it. That's where at the point where we only knew that the stud had backed out. We didn't know that ring had a crack in it.
Mm-hmm.
So after he found that out, he was under the assumption that it could have maybe been something in between those mounting plates that got caught in there, a piece of debris, something like that, that could have caused that crack. It's pure speculation, but without taking it apart and seeing if there was something caught between those two mounting surfaces. So,
mm-hmm.
The repair we ended up doing is what Renew suggested we do at this point. So, but yeah, we can certainly dig into a worst case scenario, because that inner mounting ring is part of the hub assembly itself, and they don't have spares. They don't exist. So.
And so that inner ring is on the third page, top photo. Is that correct?
Correct.
It looks like that blue and red cylinder, and that's the okay.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Kevin. Next on the agenda, we have Joe Schmidt's Silent Impact Resolution. Ms. Johnson, anything you want to add before we watch a video?
Well, it's probably fitting that the topic is fear after listening to Kevin and the interviews. But, no, we have two left from Joe. I think they have been very beneficial for staff, and I hope you enjoy his words on fear today.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Joe Schmidt here with your impact resolution for the month of September. And in September, we're going to be talking about fear. Fear is real. And there's a lot of fear out there right now. There's fear of the pandemic. There's fear of social unrest. Fear sending your kids back to school. Yes, fear is real. There's fear of lying, fear of speaking in public, and even fear of making a mistake. But you can conquer fear by making fear your friend. Dave Winfield is one of the great athletes to ever come out of Minnesota. He was drafted professionally in three different leagues. He played 22 years of Major League Baseball and is in the Hall of Fame. And I asked one of his friends one time, I said, what made Dave so good for so long? And the guy answered right away. He said it was fear. Dave had a fear of failure. That motivated him. That pushed him to work harder, to be better prepared than anybody else because he feared failure so bad. Yes, I think we all put up imaginary walls, and those walls are really fear. How do you break through those walls, or climb over those walls, or get around those walls? That's how you handle fear. Anybody remember these beautiful little things? Oh yeah, you might have had a pair of yourself. These are called Zubas. And what I like about Zubas is two things. It was started by a couple of guys who were fearless and started a business out of a gym in Roseville, Minnesota, and it eventually became a $100 million company. But their logo, their saying on their logo is dare to be different, dare to be fearless. And believe it or not, if you were trying to sell these nationwide, you had to dare to be different. They were fearless and they were very successful. And I just think that sometimes that's what fear is too, daring to be different. Most decisions based on fear are wrong. Let me say that again. Most decisions based on fear are wrong. So this month, in the month of September, let's be fearless. Let's make fear our friends. Let's dare to be different. And maybe let's even welcome wear a pair of Zubas. That's our impact resolution for the month of September. We'll see you back here next month.
So everybody will have their Zubas on next meeting, right? Appreciate that update as always. All right, next on our agenda, we're down to the General Manager's Report, Mr. Heron.
Thank you, Commissioner Manner. Labor Committee will be meeting Wednesday morning, 7:30. We have received a request from the union for contract negotiation, along with their requested amendment. So that will be Wednesday morning. Then you go to Missouri River Area Meeting. There is an attachment. Second page. Hopefully you have time to take in a couple of the sessions, the updates from Missouri River. However, everybody has limited time. So if you're able to take in any of the sessions, the first one I would recommend would be the 9 o'clock on Thursday, October 29th. Hopefully the commission at commission level would find that interesting and pledge its rates, future rates, time of use rates, and then WAPA updates, rates and waters, and the REX program. And if you still have additional time, the Thursday, November 5th, board reports, Missouri River strategic priorities, federal state legislative updates, legal and regulatory updates. So strategic priorities, you'll probably get a glimpse into where Missouri River envisions going with power supply. So that could be of interest to you as well. And then the third, how we rank before the commissioners, would be power supply, Wednesday morning, the very first session. Transmission and distribution maintenance is really for communities that are interested in having Missouri River manage their maintenance crews, their distribution crews, which is really not of interest for us here. But power supply update. And then Wednesday morning, November 4th, is for the most part geared towards staff. You know, commission will always find it interesting, so I'm not going to discourage you from not taking part in it. But if you're looking at prioritizing, those would be the days for you to utilize and capitalize on your time. So it'd be one, Thursday, October 29th. Second session would be November 5th, followed by October 28th, and then the last session, November 4th. That would conclude my update, unless there's questions.
Thank you for
One last, I guess I do have one more. Gwen Lipinski is retiring here this week. Huge thank you goes out to her for 34 years of service, plus with the utility. She's not having an open house here, so there will not be an open house. I know a number of commissioners like to come to the open house, but she is foregoing that. So she's retiring on us after 34 years here this week.
We appreciate her time and commitment to the utilities as well, and wish her the best in her future endeavors. So, thank you. On the Missouri River area meetings, that's something that they in the past would try and do a few times a year and sprinkle it through different communities, correct? In person, previously?
Yes, they have. They hold the area, they refer to them as the area meetings. They hold them annually. Last year we were in Alexandria, and I think Commissioner DeBleek was with us, wasn't it? Weren't you? Yeah. They hold that every other year. They hold policymakers, and I think Commissioner Mattern, you were with that last year along with Commissioner Lamar. That was in Alexandria as well. That's higher level yet than what the area meeting is. The area meeting is probably one level down from the every other year meeting that they hold for, basically for members.
Thank you. I do again encourage everyone to try and participate in at least some of that, if at all possible. Especially with remote, it's a little easier to do, to jump in and out. So, all right, anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.